Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us once again today as we face the issues. We pray that today's broadcast will be informative and a challenge to you. We're going to be talking about who do you want for a president. We'll be dealing with the Christianity Today's article in which Mark Galley, the chief editor for Christianity Today, took it upon himself and the magazine's authority to do so, to do a hit piece on our president. And may I say to you, as we think on this subject today, may I remind us that it's the responsibility of Christians to understand that we need to stand on truth. Truth is what matters. And Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then to give a clarification, if you will, of what is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we think on the subject of truth, we must realize and understand that we have come a far cry from truth in today's society. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly where we are today. We're in a declension today, ladies and gentlemen, where truth is almost an irrelevant term and word, especially in the Washington Beltway and those that are the political pundits that are out to destroy our president. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. It's not based on some hyperbole. It's not based on some ideological bent. It's not based on denominational dogma with the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. We base the broadcast and the programming each day on what is truth. We seek to find truth. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in the Scripture, it's very clear the Scripture pronounces woe on them that will call right wrong and wrong right. In fact, in Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that's exactly what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, is that philosophy and that mentality of simply calling right wrong and wrong right, and darkness light and light darkness. We see that today, ladies and gentlemen, more than ever in my lifetime. I don't know about yours. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, at any point in time during the course of this broadcast, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issue today. But before we get into the monologue, the dialogue and discussion, let me remind you, today's broadcast in part is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is a local power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for the homeowner, like brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of landscape and lawn care equipment for the professional and for the homeowner, including hurricane preparedness equipment, the full line of Honda generators, and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power and about landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that found? Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right where the gigantic Old Glory United States flag flies 24/7. Find the flag at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flag, you'll find Toots for Tam. ToothForTam.com. ToothForTam.com. Ladies and gentlemen, much of the headline news, especially in the fake news recently, is focused on Christianity Today's article by the editor-in-chief. By the way, Mark Galley, the editor of Christianity Today, put in his notice of retirement back in October and will not take place until the 20th of January of 2020. And so I think this is his swan dive, his last effort to really reveal the rag magazine that Christianity Today has been for so many years. It doesn't represent the overwhelming majority of the evangelical Christian community in America. But nevertheless, it was Galley that has taken upon himself, with the authorization, I'm sure, of Christianity Today, or would not have been there, to attempt to control the Christian vote for 2020. Hear me and listen carefully. That's the focus and the purpose of this hit piece in Christianity Today by Mark Galley, the editor-in-chief, is to control the Christian vote for 2020. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, in 2016, about 31 million Christians failed to vote, did not vote. It's as a result of the Christian vote, for the most part, that President Donald J. Trump is in office today. And I believe President Trump is in office as a result of God's divine intervention that placed him there for further protection of the ever-eroding foundation of the United States of America. I believe it was the divine intervention of God that placed Donald J. Trump in office to protect religious liberty, the freedom of speech, and the Second Amendment, and all of our other constitutional liberties that we have. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, were it not for President Donald J. Trump, we would have already slidden completely into the socialist, Marxist, democratic agenda of the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States of America. I don't know how I could say that any more succinctly and directly, but I believe that this article on December the 19th of 2019 in the Christianity Today, I believe the article was there for a single purpose, a single goal and aim, and that was to demean and undermine and tear down and destroy the Christian vote, better known as the evangelical vote, for President Donald J. Trump. As a result of Christianity Today and Galley's majority, or his major article on December the 19th of 2019, they've become celebrities. In fact, Mark Galley's been interviewed by most, if not all, of the fake news media stations and networks, and Christianity Today and Mark Galley's become kind of a celebrity as a result of their stand against President Donald J. Trump. So just what did Mark Galley and Christianity Today say about President Trump? Christianity Today believes that President Trump should be removed from office. Their position is that he should be impeached. They were applauding Nancy Pelosi and the Socialist Marxist Democrats for voting impeachment. And they were pushing the envelope, trying to make sure that somehow, some way, Christians would get behind that impeachment vote, and somehow, some way, Christians would be in favor of it enough to start promulgating and pushing and prodding the Senate to do the same as the House of Representatives have done. They're warning, ladies and gentlemen, Christianity Today, in this article, they are wanting to control the vote for 2020 for the President of the United States of America. In fact, one of the articles about the major article in Christianity Today that discussed the article in that was written by Mark Galley compared President Trump to a physically violent husband and his attack on his wife. A small but yet much needed note is that the rag magazine Christianity Today is not a theologically biblically sound publication, and it does not represent the position of the overwhelming majority of biblical Christians in America today. Here is an article, and it says, Christianity Today editor compares Trump to physically violent husband in new attack. It's curious how the Democrats have rediscovered a love for things they long since have outgrown during the impeachment process. For instance, the Constitution is now vitally important to them. So is the wisdom of the founding fathers, even the ones who owned slaves. And now, thanks to an editorial in one magazine, they've rediscovered Christianity. Let me just pause for a moment comment on that brief paragraph introduction of this article titled Christianity Today Compares Trump to Physically Violent Husband in New Attack. This writer is saying in this particular article that it seems that the Democrats have rediscovered some things that they have long forgotten. They seem to have rediscovered the Constitution, as you recall in the impeachment hearings, they kept referring to the Constitution and what the Constitution says. They also have rediscovered the Founding Fathers, of whom they have rejected and demeaned as being slave owners and ought not to have any prominent position in society, or even in the monuments across America today. And now they have, according to their now newfound talk and communication in relationship to Christianity Today's article and demeaning the president, wanting to push the conservative Christians to not vote for him in 2020, it seems that they've rediscovered Christianity, as this writer says in this article. The article further says, thanks to Mark Galley and the folks at Christianity Today. Galley, in case you aren't a fan of cable news busters against Donald Trump and their variety, is the editor-in-chief of the publication, a periodical almost nobody other than MSNBC, CNN cared about until it published the article calling for President Trump's impeachment and removal from office. Galley, this article says, is now a minor celebrity in the impeachment mill industry. And proven by the fact that MSNBC, he was a guest on their broadcast. In fact, in his statement in relationship to the title as being a physically violent husband, upon this point, open and look at this point, he's saying, it's been my judgment that dealing with President Donald J. Trump is like a woman who's married to a man who is verbally abusive, but he's a great provider and he's a good father to his children, and she puts up with it. Even though he loses his temper, she weighs in the balance and says, I can still deal with that, according to Galley, the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today. I'm saddened to see what we find as a rag magazine that was founded by Billy Graham in 1956, and it's come a long way, as the old cliche used to be, come a long way, baby, in relationship to what it now stands for. It is a theologically, doctrinally, biblically unsound rag magazine, and I'm not the only one saying that. That has been true. In fact, I stopped taking Christianity Today about 25 years ago because of its rancorous liberal stand on most theological, doctrinal, biblical subjects that I'm a conservative on. But nevertheless, it is a rag magazine today that's pushing for the undermining of the Christian vote for 2020 for the President, President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to have with us on the broadcast today one of our sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg is a scholar in the realm of most theological, doctrinal, biblical, and especially when it comes to administrative and presidential work and the Constitution, and I'm thankful for his answers. And so I've invited him to come and be our guest today on this broadcast. He's been in town for a few days. He's from up in the mountains of Tennessee. And he says, and if I can tuck in this, he says, Dad, when the rapture comes, I'll get there sooner than you because I'm closer to heaven.
Well, we're at the southern tip of heaven. We're at a higher altitude. We'll get there faster than you folks.
So I don't know. Maybe we need to move to Tennessee to be closer and get to heaven quicker when the rapture comes. Greg, what do you think about this whole shenanigan and this whole charade that's being promulgated today by Christianity Today and what Mark Galley is saying?
Well, Galley's fitting in one of two categories. He's either ignorant, and I don't believe the man's ignorant. I believe he fits in the other category. He is a willful participant in what we call the leftist movement today. He is a shill for the DNC. He's a shill for your Soros types. He's a shill for everything that we consider liberal and left, not classic liberalism. I mean, your leftism, your socialism of today. I believe he would embrace the ideologies of your Bernie Sanders types today. Sadly, we have a ton of folks out there. They call themselves Never Trumpers. As a matter of fact, if there's a Never Trumper listening right now, I've got a question for you. Which candidate on the national stage today meets your purity test? I want to know. Mm-hmm. And the second question I'm going to have for you, so I'm not going to spring this on you when you call in. Second question I'm going to have for you is, can that man or can that woman actually win? Because the system that we have like it or not, it's a binary system. You'll only have, at the end of the day, you will only have a Republican or a Democrat that becomes your next nominee.
God help us if it's a Democrat.
Oh, my God. Well, they're all socialists. Every one of them embrace infanticide, and every one of them embrace different levels of socialism. And, of course, that's the question to Galley. That's the question to the never-Trumpers. And when it comes down to it, you need to tell me that you're supporting Donald Trump, or you're supporting Bernie Sanders, or you're supporting Pocahontas, you're supporting, you know, Joe Biden. That's a joke. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. A lot of this stuff started with Ukrainian phone call. Does anybody out there really think that Donald Trump needs help beating Joe Biden? Sleepy Joe, Perverted Joe, Groper Joe, you know, 30330 Joe. Come on, really? Does anybody out there believe that he needs help?
Greg, here's just a bit of information. Perhaps we're speaking to some of our audience today. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have your input, your dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've read the article. Perhaps you've heard of the article. Perhaps you have not. Perhaps this is brand new for you. During the course of this broadcast, we're going to unfurl for our listeners today, Greg. We're going to unfurl some of the things that was said in the article. We want to analyze it, take it apart, and determine, is it correct biblically, theologically, doctrinally, or is it morally, ethically corrupt based on the editor and the Christianity Today's position? Here's an article, Greg, that says Christianity Today calls for Trump's removal from office following impeachment. One of the nation's top Christian magazines publications called for the removal of President Trump on Thursday, one day after the House of Representatives passed two articles of impeachment against him. In an editorial title, ladies and gentlemen, this is the title of the article. You can Google it if you like, read the entire article. It says, Trump should be removed from office, end quote. Christianity Today's editor-in-chief, Mark Galley, invoked the mission of the magazine's founder, Billy Graham, to help evangelical Christians interpret the news in a manner that reflects their faith, end quote. Further, he says, we want Christianity Today to be the place that welcomes Christians from across the political spectrum and reminds everyone that politics is not the end and purpose of being a Christian, Galley wrote. And further, he says, the fact is the instance, he says, however, the fact is this instance are unambiguous. The President of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents. That's not only a violation of the Constitution, more importantly, it's profoundly immoral.
He needs to reread his Constitution first. I want that poor little schlep to share with me what's unconstitutional about. Let's say he was asking for a direct investigation into Joe Biden, into Hunter Biden. Tell me what's unconstitutional about that. Matter of fact, the Constitution requires in Article 2 that the President of the United States faithfully execute the laws.
Yes.
If laws are broken, is he supposed to sit on his hands? I mean, granted, that's completely contrary to what Obama did with the, you know, Fast and Furious stuff. He was breaking the law in order to pursue an agenda. Under DOMA, DOMA was the law of the land, Defense of Marriage Act. Barack Obama came into office and says, I will not defend DOMA. That was literally a violation of his oath of office. Was a violation of the law? Well, nobody ever called him on it. But those are direct things. I mean, when it came to the Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals, we call it DACA. That was a direct failure by executive order, direct failure to enforce the laws of the United States. Anybody call him on it? Nope, not really. Those are things that you could actually make a case. But the idea that laws may have been broken, there may be corruption, and you want it looked into, even if that's what Donald Trump was asking for, there's not a problem. There's not a violation of the Constitution.
It's his responsibility as chief president.
Absolutely. And again, do you really think that Donald Trump needed help to beat 30330 Joe?
Or any one of the other candidates
quid pro
on the
quo
same
Joe?
Day.
I mean, and if that's an impeachable offense, wouldn't it be, let's say Joe Biden, by miraculous ends up being the President of the United States, should we immediately then turn around and impeach him over the quid pro quo, over the use of $1 billion of U.S. taxpayer money in Ukraine to fire Shokin, the prosecutor? I mean, should we immediately impeach him if he's elected? I mean, if we use the same standard, not that it is applicable to Trump, but if we use that same standard, Biden ought to be impeached the minute he went in if he were ever to be elected.
Or Nancy Pelosi with her nexus with China for 20 years.
Listen, these things go on and on. I believe the swamp, the deep state, they are scared to death because this perverse, twisted onion is every day unraveling. It's being peeled. We haven't even gotten to the thousands of unmaskings that took place in the late days of the Obama administration, where individual civil liberties were stripped because executives in different offices decided, hey, we want to unmask this person because they communicated with someone internationally. By the way, that's something that happened just dozens of times prior or leading up to. And then all of a sudden, it's hundreds and hundreds. And you have folks that had never really participated in unmasking that were requesting dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of unmaskings. We haven't even touched that yet. You know, we've just begun to go down the path of all the things that led to Russiagate. And Russiagate was a criminal endeavor, a criminal enterprise, I believe, by Comey and Brennan and Clapper and others in the deep state that literally saw Donald Trump as a threat to their very existence.
Absolutely. And some call it, as you do, the deep state. I call it the shadow government. We've had a shadow government in America for many, many years. It's the government behind the government that actually runs the government. And so when President Trump went in, he said he's going to drain the swamp, and he didn't realize it was a sewer. But, Greg, let's talk about for a minute, for the benefit of our listeners. I want us to review the six charges, and they were charges, that were made by Mark Galley in the Christianity Today publication, December the 19th, 2019. Let me just run down them, and then we're going to talk about them. We don't need to analyze them infinitum, but Mark Galley said President Trump attempted to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit a political opponent. Now, on the very face of it, that's an absolute untruth. It's an impossibility. That did not take place, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, I could read to you, if time would allow, the total telephone conversation that President Trump had with the leadership in Ukraine, and nothing in that telephone conversation would allude to what he said. Notice it says, this was the words in that article, President Trump attempted to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit a political opponent.
Hold on a second. We've got to stop on that point for just a second, because let's say they're right. Let's give him, by the way, it's not right, but let's say he's right for a second. Tried to coerce, you know, tried to twist the arm of. Now, and to engage a foreign government in a political campaign. Now, hold on a second. Isn't that exactly what Hillary Clinton did and the DNC did? They paid international operatives. They paid Steele, British national. They used him as a conduit to pay Russians for information. Propaganda piece. We called it the Steele dossier. Hold on just a second here, and now that was reinforced. We have FBI dollars attached to Steele. Our U.S. government potentially helped fund the Steele dossier, which did, you know, no arm twisting. U.S. taxpayer dollars were spent to engage a foreign government and to attempt to affect the outcome of a U.S. election. Tell me. Now, we're just measuring things because Galley here is supposed to be kind of fair and balanced guy. He's just applying a moral standard.
Just like the magazine's fair and balanced.
Oh, help me.
Let's go to the next charge, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the article in Christianity Today written by Mark Galley, the chief editor for Christianity Today. And the second thing, Greg, he says, President Trump's action was also profoundly immoral.
Profoundly immoral.
I find that antithetical to anything. See, ladies and gentlemen, each thing that he states, each thing that he says, is designed specifically to undermine and to, in some fashion, charge the Christians that voted for President Trump is to undermine their future.
It's intended to have Christians stay at home.
Yes. I'm looking at an article here, Greg, that in response to that statement, it says, Galley also fails to show how Trump's conversation with the president of the Ukraine was profoundly immoral. It's not immoral to investigate possible corruption. It's what the government should do.
Absolutely.
You can't state it any better than that.
Unless you're in the government and you're corrupt, in which case you're going to say, it's immoral. You shouldn't chase me. You shouldn't pursue me. You're a bad guy. I mean, my goodness here.
In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in the scripture, according to the New Testament, Peter himself writes that government officials are sent to punish those that do evil and to praise those that do good.
Reward.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. And so I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if I can just insert this little Youngblood dogmatic, theological, philosophical, social, ethical, political statement, if you however you want to couch it, I believe that President Donald J. Trump is in office today because God's divine intervention that placed him there for the further security and protection for the United States of America.
I think it's time for confession. I've got a confession for you.
All right.
I didn't support Donald Trump.
You didn't?
Not in the primary, I didn't. I'll tell you what, I was scared to death. I mean, this is a fellow that, you know, some perceived as a New York liberal. He had negotiated on things, and of course my big thing was, you know, I don't want a negotiator in chief when my civil rights are on the line. You know, mm-hmm. It scared me. You know, I was a Ted. I'm going to tell everybody, you're not supposed to talk about who you voted for and all. I was a Ted Cruz fan. I'm going, man, this guy is conservative. This fella knows his Constitution. Have you listened to him debate?
Yes.
Ted Cruz can do it. He can knock it out of the park. I didn't like the fact that Donald Trump had said that, you know, Ted Cruz's daddy may have been involved in, you know, the JFK assassination. You go, oh my goodness, I can't believe you said that. Now, keep in mind, he was fighting with, what is it, 15, 16?
17.
Oh my goodness. So, he's in this primary, and he's scaring me to death, all right, because I didn't know much about Donald Trump other than, you know, I could pick different things I didn't like about him. But now we have, of course, the election came along, and we had our choice between Hillary Clinton, the wicked witch of the of Arkansas, you know, and we know exactly what she is. We know what she is. Or you have the Trump card. You've got the Joker. You've got the wild card. You know, I went with the wild card. And I did it crossing my fingers and praying, Lord, I hope that this works out. But it's got to be better than Hillary Clinton. You've got these never Trumpers out there running around today saying, oh, I'll tell you what, Donald Trump is the same as Hillary Clinton. I got news for you. Hillary Clinton would never have nominated and put into a judicial position dozens and dozens and dozens of conservative constitutionalist originalist justices.
About 170 now.
Would never have done it. She would have never signed off on the Keystone XL pipeline and released that work so it could begin and so that could be completed, I should say, and so that this nation could once again be a net producer of energy. Today, we're a net exporter of oil.
Yes.
So the reality is, and we can go down a list of all the reasons why Donald Trump is not Hillary Clinton, so don't buy that lie. Second off, this entire exercise, we watched the media, particularly CNN and MSNBC, what Donald Trump calls fake news, they were helping him. They probably gave him $1 billion in free airtime. If you recall that primary, Donald Trump was on the news every single night and not in a negative way. It was amazing. They gave a lot of free airtime.
They didn't expect him to be elected.
I fully expect that they knew about the Access Hollywood tapes. They knew about all the embarrassing things. And they were helping him to become the nominee. They were setting him up to be the nominee so they could destroy him and the general, and so they could have Hillary Clinton as president of the United States.
All orchestrated.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I can show the stack of evidence and connect the dots. It sure does look like they wanted him to be the nominee.
Yes. Greg, another thing, our time is about out for this portion of the broadcast, and we'll have a news break and be back in a moment. But before we get to the news break, Greg, another thing that this writer, Christianity Today, Mark Galley, said.
Help me.
He says, President Trump has hired and fired a number of people who are now convicted criminals.
Hold on a second. Can we go down the list of all the criminals that Obama had around? Now, they weren't prosecuted. You know, his attorney general that led the gun running deal Fast and Furious ought to be in a federal penitentiary. The head of the IRS, Lois Lerner, ought to be in a federal penitentiary. I can go right down the list of criminals. Clapper, when he lied to Congress, that ought to put him in jail, right? That would put me in jail. It would put you in jail. Why doesn't it put Clapper in jail? But these folks are not targeted by the left. The deep state supports the left.
The key question, Greg, is, before we take a break, the key question is, since when are we responsible for the activities, the actions
of others
and what
they've
done?
The Bible says
we're
not. You're not be held responsible for me, and I'm not be held responsible for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back with you. Don't turn that dial. Hang in there. We'll be right back back in just a moment.
Dr. Gina Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.